President Trump himself has said to expect some pain.
Then the $16 billion estimated to be gambled on the Super Bowl.
I'm expecting higher commercial costs the following year.
It's a lot of numbers that we just went through.
Today is Tuesday, February 4th, 2025, and this is The Bash. Welcome to The Bash, where we bring the analyst and planner to the table to discuss relevant financial and investment topics. We're going to have 60 seconds to discuss each topic. Scott, my man, the analyst, before we get started, it's February, Valentine's Day coming up, pitchers and catchers, of course, the Super Bowl. What's on the top of your mind right now?
Okay, not in an order of importance. The trucks are loaded to go to Clearwater. Me and my son are pumped. Super Bowl, I mean, the birds, like, let's go. And Valentine's Day, of course.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Valentine's Day is the only thing on my mind. So, Scott, let's move on and let's start talking about the news in the market right now. And over the past month, there have been many events threatening this recent bull market. That includes tariffs, AI competition, and a recent Fed pause. Scott, what's going on and should investors be worried?
All three, Matt, are sources of volatility. Couldn't agree more. I'm going to pay my focus or my attention on the chip sector. And the source of volatility recently has actually been due to an advancement seen in AI labs halfway around the world. And what does it mean? It means that there's greater efficiency. It means that AI models are able to produce their output or their data in a much more efficient manner. How? By using less graphic processing units. When we drive down the cost, essentially, it should advance all AI models. And because it's an open architecture, this should lead to greater competition. It should be a good thing.
I think that's a good thing.
Specifically around some of the largest companies in our market, known as the Mag 7, a lot of people are looking at this as a major threat to their business. I believe it's the opposite. Javon's paradox.
What did you just say to me?
Talks about when you have greater efficiency, you're having a lower cost, you're actually going to have an increased adoption rate. So I believe long-term it's a positive, and I believe that because it's an opportunity, investors, they have the responsibility to do their homework, speak with their advisor, and make the correct long-term diversification decisions. Matt, what are you seeing?
Scott, I like that you have some positive outlook, but I'm going to talk about uncertainty, unpredictability, shock and awe type of government that's starting out with President Trump. And look, it started this past Saturday. President Trump announced that the U.S. would impose a 25% tariff on imported goods from Mexico and Canada and an incremental 10% tariff on imports from China. One day later, we already have things moving around and we have a delay with Mexico and Canada now of 1 month on those tariffs.
What are you waiting for?
So there is uncertainty of what's going to happen. So tariffs alone can cause market volatility in the short term. It could also be a moderate drag on corporate profits. And President Trump himself has said to expect some pain.
I'm not ready.
So going forward, I think this is going to be his negotiation style. He's going to use the leverage of the United States to work with these countries and maybe others. And where I see a big risk, if there's retaliation, if they don't bend to some of his demands, this could be a long-term problem. And when that happens, there could be a significant hit to the stock market and the economy. I personally do not think that President Trump wants this because he wouldn't want the finger pointed at him if the market goes down significantly in the long term. We will wait and see.
Matt, I couldn't agree. Well said. The regulatory environment is absolutely a major source of the recent volatility. But let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about some of the experiences that we have working with young professionals. And what we've observed over the years are some mistakes that young professionals make. And we want to inform our viewers so that they don't make the same mistakes. Matt, what are you seeing from a financial planning perspective that we can help our viewers out with?
Scott, I love the passion of planning, especially for young investors. And their number one asset we always talk about is time and not taking advantage of time by making their money work for them sooner than later and not putting their financial workout first, waiting, not being disciplined. So I think one of the best ways to do this is to give or provide an example. Take a young professional grossing $100,000 a year. If you put together a cash flow estimate or budget, they would have about $80,000, in my example, in taxes and living expenses. In that scenario, they would have $20,000 they could put to work for them. A recommendation would be to start putting about $1,000 a month between investment buckets such as retirement, non-retirement, or even overpaying loans that are costing them interest. These would be ways that they could start making their money work for them. And putting those plans in place first, then adjusting their lifestyle. This is where we see mistakes where those young investors wait or they spend on discretionary items and then come back to the workout. So, Scott, making your money work for you is a mistake that I see happening a lot with young professionals.
What?
What?
What about you?
Thanks, Matt. I'm going to focus on the investment side, of course. What I'm going to focus on are the top three mistakes that I see investors make. Number one, lack of diversification. It's no secret over these last 10 years that the largest companies have led the way. We see it time and time again, statements that are overloaded in the 7 to 10 largest companies in the market, and investors are missing out on the benefits of diversification, which are not to dampen returns, actually to dampen risk, dampen volatility, and hopefully enhance returns. Investors need to be aware that there's many areas of the market that they could participate in, not just the largest few. The second mistake I often see investors make is simply emotional investing. Impulsive reactions are not an investment strategy. Clients will trim the winners too soon and hold the losers forever. That is not diversification. It is not a rebalancing strategy. It is knee-jerk reactions to the market, and it doesn't help anyone. Lastly, I often see clients just not paying attention to the fees they're paying. It's amazing that there's a lack of understanding that you pay an advisor fees, you pay trading costs, you pay mutual fund fees. They all add up, and they're all paid by the investor. Investors need to be aware of this. They need to talk about this topic with their advisor.
Scott, great points. A lot of that had to do with investing. So I think it's best to circle back to the stock market, which you love. And look, Scott, the stock market's coming off a 24% return in 2023 and 23% return in 2024. It's a bull market. That's special, right? But what do you see going forward as obstacles to prevent another positive year?
Yeah, I'm glad we're having the opportunity to talk about this because I started off by talking about the source of recent volatility, but I do see obstacles ahead. We're in the third year of a bull market here. Investors need to look at where we were just 2-3 years ago and where we are today. That theory of path dependency. And investors need to look at where some of their specific holdings were and where they are today. But what I need investors to really hone in on is the Fed. A month and a half ago, we were expecting approximately 2-3 rate cuts in 2025. A few weeks ago, that expectation went to no rate cuts. Maybe the Fed is going to have to raise rates because we have inflation. And now, just a couple weeks later, after getting some positive inflationary data showing the cooling of inflation, we're now back to 2 rate cuts in 2025. Expectations are all over the map. Nobody, investors, managers, knows what the Fed is going to do. We do know that the expectations have changed in a volatile manner, and those expectations then will cause volatility on the markets. I believe that investors need to be very much aware and listen to the Fed. And the path of interest rate movements this year is going to be critical to the returns that we see on the equity markets.
I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Matt, what are you seeing?
Scott, good points. Talk about interest rates. I'm going to circle back to earnings. Are companies, especially in the S&P 500, going to continue to produce solid earnings to support their price? So let's think of the price to earnings ratio, the price of a stock divided by what it's earning. And right now, that current ratio is trading at a premium compared to historical averages. So right now, investors are optimistic about future growth. However, it also means that if earnings don't meet their expectations, the market could be vulnerable to a correction. On top of that, AI is so heavily involved and it's so much exposure to the top 7 stocks in the S&P, which make up about 33% of the index. And when you have that much concentration And when we saw what happened, when you mentioned earlier, a few weeks ago with competition in China, those stocks, their price to earnings ratio even stretched further than the rest of the S&P. So that is a risk. But I will tell you some good news, Scott. Overall, the Q4 earnings so far this season have been better than expected. That has put the quarterly growth to 13.2%, according to FactSet, which is the best rate in 3 years as of last week.
Understood, and thank you for that. And that's a lot of numbers that we just went through.
I pumped those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
And we're going to stick with numbers here on our next question, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about the upcoming Super Bowl.
Fly, Eagles, fly to Super Bowl 59.
But we're going to stick to the dollars and cents part of the Super Bowl. And I know that you have some fun facts that we want to go through, Matt. So let's talk about the upcoming Super Bowl and not our predictions on the game, but really about the dollars.
Scott, thank you. And obviously, we know what our prediction is. Hopefully, when people see this, it comes true.
Me too.
But I'm just going to focus on TV and commercials here. There's a lot to take in when it comes to the Super Bowl. And let's start with numbers. Did you know, Scott, last year there was 123.4 million people that watched Super Bowl 58. This was up 7% from the 2023 high. So last year was a record. This was the most watched Super Bowl in history. Guess what else happened in 2024? Out of the top 100 broadcasts, 72 of them were football, the NFL. Right now, they are dominating broadcasts, dominating the ratings. And Scott, this is one of your favorite sayings, or if it isn't, it will be after today. With great viewership comes great advertising costs.
I don't know what that means.
It's a phrase.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is. Yeah, it definitely is.
And what do I mean by that? Well, the commercial costs this year are going up to a record $8 million. If you go back in time to 2013, the average was $4 million. So we've doubled in a little more than 10 years. So it will be interesting to see where the numbers come in after this Super Bowl, whether it be a little bit of a lull. It's the Eagles versus the Chiefs again. But most likely, they could hit a record again. And I'm expecting higher commercial costs the following year. Scott, what do you got?
Well, number one, what I'm seeing is Congress spent more bailing out the banks, or spent less bailing out the banks, I should say, than the $16 billion estimated to be gambled on the Super Bowl. Unbelievable.
Now that's a little too much.
I'm going to also look at the host city, New Orleans, estimated to gain $300 to $500 million in revenue from tourism, the tens of thousands of Eagle fans that are flocking south right now are going to be opening up their wallets and spending money. I think these numbers are outrageous, especially when you compare over time to where we've seen spending going. But the tickets alone, consumers alone, they're spending anywhere between $1,000 up to $5,000 and sometimes more just to be able to get into the venue to see the game. All across the board, sponsorships. How much did Apple pay just for the halftime show that they took from Pepsi a couple years ago? $50 million a year. These numbers are outrageous. I haven't seen anything like it. I can't believe it. But look, it is the biggest event of the year. Philadelphia is lucky enough to be in it. Let's go get a victory.
All right, Scott. Sound like excitement, probably a prediction in there, but you don't want to say that. I'm pumped. Any other thoughts you have today with the volatility in the market? We touched on a lot of that, numbers, dollars, anything else that comes to mind before we sign off?
I would just tell investors, have those annual reviews with your advisors. You're in the third year of a bull market. You've got to review not only your financial plan, but also your investment allocation.
All right, listeners, you heard it from the man, the analyst. And as I always tell everyone, don't forget, stay focused, stay disciplined, and stay tuned for the next episode of The Bash.
Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC. All performance referenced is historical and is no guarantee for future results. All indices are unmanaged and may not be invested into directly. No strategy assures success or protects against loss. The economic forecasts set forth in this material may not develop as predicted, and there can be no guarantee that strategies promoted will be successful. This information is not intended to be a substitute for specific individualized tax or legal advice. We suggest that you discuss your specific situation with a qualified tax or legal advisor.